we have one more question about Obadiah. Mention and discuss any other principles you believe to be particularly helpful in the study of Obadiah. Now, don't forget this important note. One purpose of this assignment is to cause you to be principle conscious for yourself in the study of the Bible. What I mean is this, that I give you a lot of principles, but then I want you to be on the lookout for principles that will help you in the study of God's Word. The additional principle I believe to be helpful in the study of Obadiah is this. From secular history, show how the prophecies of Obadiah have been remarkably fulfilled. From secular history, show how the prophecies of Obadiah have been remarkably fulfilled. I think the same thing is true of the fulfillment of these prophecies in Obadiah. It's true of many other prophecies that there is yet a final fulfillment of this in the future. But I'm talking now about these partial fulfillments. Let me read the principle a little bit more and then develop it in detail. From secular history, show how the prophecies of Obadiah have been remarkably fulfilled. In discussing this, I'd like for you to notice that there are really two parts to the prophecy. The first part tells about the destruction of Edom. And the second part says that Jacob will possess the possessions of Edom. Those are the two parts. Now, the first part was fulfilled in 582 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took possession of the Edomites. You see, that's about 5 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and the city in 587 B.C. And then 5 years after that, he marched down on this great national highway towards Egypt, and as he did, he captured the Edomites. My wife was asking me, how did he ever get them out of those mountain dwellings, those cave dwellings? Well, of course, the answer is that Babylon was the first great world empire. Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, you have the Tower of Babel back in Genesis, but it hadn't yet developed into what we call a great world empire. You know, in the book of Daniel, you have your four great world empires, and the first one is Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. Well, that's the first part of the prophecy fulfilled 5 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. Then the second part of the prophecy said that the Israelites would possess the possessions of Edom. And that was fulfilled in the days of the Maccabees. You all know who the Maccabees were. The Maccabees were these Jewish leaders who fought the great war for Jewish independence. And their war was fought between 167 B.C. and 63 B.C. The Maccabees ruled over God's people for a period of about 100 years. I don't know how many of you are familiar with one of the descendants of the Maccabees. One of their descendants is called John Hyrcanus, H-Y-R-C-A-N-U-S. And John Hyrcanus forced the Edomites to be circumcised. That is, they forced them to become Jews. Now, you take those Herods that we mentioned in New Testament times. We say they were Idumeans or Edomites. Yes, they were as far as their descent was concerned. But as far as name was concerned, they were Jews because they had lost their national identity. John Hyrcanus caused them to be circumcised and come over into the fold of the children of Israel. So that's the twofold fulfillment of this prophecy in secular history. First, Nebuchadnezzar fulfilled the part that said Edom was going to be destroyed. Then the Maccabees fulfilled the part that said the house of Jacob would possess the possessions of the Edomites. And they possessed those possessions in that war for independence that I've already mentioned. Now, before I leave this, I want to remind you that one of the great truths illustrated by this principle is that God's warnings are every bit as sure of fulfillment as it promises. God's warnings are every bit as sure of fulfillment as it promises. And are the warnings of God really precious to your heart? That's one check on a true, well-balanced Christian life. We talk about the precious promises, but you ever heard anybody talk about the precious warnings of the Bible? You don't think of the warnings as precious. But that's one check as to whether we're really going forward in the Lord. Whether or not the warnings are just as precious to us as the promises. God's warnings are every bit as sure of fulfillment as are His promises. On page 64, we begin our study of Jonah with the first principle,